Amen. Good to see each of you in service today. Thankful for the desire there is to be here.
Amen.
You know, that doesn't always mean that we're as happy as a five-year-old on Christmas morning coming to church. But I thank God it's our desire, our hunger. You know, there's a lot of times in life we're very hungry naturally. And we want something to eat. A lot of times we may not be real hungry, but we know we have to eat. And when we were with Susan the other day, she was eating a bowl. I don't know what she was eating, a bowl or something. But she made that comment. She goes, "I know I got to eat." She didn't have any appetite. She don't want to eat, but she knows I have to. You know, sometimes we need to understand that we need to eat. Because as Brother Danny says, sometimes the enemy will try to play games with us. Yeah. We're not hungry for the food, the word of the food of God. You're not thirsty for the things of God. And we do get that way sometimes. But we have to. We have to push ourselves forward to hear the word of God, to read the word of God, that we may be blessed. So I thank God for still, as a natural man, I still have a desire to eat food. As a spiritual man, I still have a desire to eat the spiritual food. And by the grace of God, I don't ever want that to go away.
Right.
And I believe that in the natural, we can lose our appetite. We can get of old and sick and things. We can lose our physical appetite. But I thank God our spiritual appetite can continue to stay.
Glory.
By the grace of God.
Amen.
If you would, let's open up your Bibles this morning, Isaiah chapter 40. We have a word of prayer before we read. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your mercy. Dear Lord, as Brother Mark mentioned, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's the mercy of God that we're here this morning.
Yes.
It's the mercy of God that you allowed us to wake up this morning.
Yes.
Dear Heavenly Father, you said in the word, you said it's the mercies of God that you don't consume us every day. And dear Heavenly Father, as it's been mentioned, we see the wickedness of ourselves. Dear Lord, across the news, across our land, across the world. Wicked, wicked things. But dear Heavenly Father, we only know a very small fraction of those things. Lord, you know of all things. And dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful that in one sense, those things can be hidden from us as saints, dear Lord. We don't want to know those things sometimes, dear Heavenly Father. We pray for them. But dear Lord, you hide them from us. But dear Lord, we're thankful for your goodness to us, your love to us, dear Heavenly Father. We're thankful that even though we live in a wicked and terrible world, dear Heavenly Father, you give us peace. You give the saints peace. You give us contentment, dear Heavenly Father. We don't hide our heads in a sense or close our eyes at things, but dear Lord, we look unto heaven. We look into heaven. We look into Jesus, dear Heavenly Father. We look for your strength and your help, dear Lord, for each and every one of us, for me, dear Heavenly Father. For each saint needs to look for themselves, dear Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, that we may make it through another day. And we're thankful you have that grace to be sufficient for us each and every day. We're thankful for the word. We're thankful for your church, dear Heavenly Father. And the saints, dear Lord. We ask you to be with us as we look into the word of God again this morning, dear Heavenly Father. You see the thoughts that I have, dear Heavenly Father. And we ask you to anoint the word. Anoint me. Anoint each one of the ears of the hearer, dear Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, we know that you said in your word will not return void, dear Heavenly Father. So, Lord, we ask you to allow, as the Spirit of God takes the word this morning, that it will just stir up our pure minds, our hearts, our desires more for the things of God, that we may draw closer to you, dear Heavenly Father. And we'll certainly thank you for that. Go with us throughout this morning, throughout the message. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Sometimes when I sit in the mornings, Sunday mornings, and go over my message, sometimes I add more footnotes than I should have. I have another thought here, another thought there. So you pray for me as we go through the message this morning. Isaiah chapter 40, picking up in verse 28, very familiar verses of Scripture, encouraging verses of Scripture. Isaiah says in verse 28, "Hast thou not known?" There's a question mark. There's something you know. Do you have something you understand? "Hast thou not heard? that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not. Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increased strength. Even the youth shall faint, and the weary, and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Thank the Lord for those verses of Scripture. I encourage you many times, and not that I'm going to bring it out too much. I might mention here a little bit in 28 there. But we want to look at verse 31 this morning and take our thought out of that. In the very first line of verse 31, he says, but they that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. See, some of you read it before I finished. That word wait. They that wait. There's not one of us in here that doesn't have a battle with waiting. We're human.
Absolutely.
Waiting. Whether we're young or whether we're old. You know, we know as our children and young people, they are very impatient. They want things. They want it now. They don't understand why they can't have it now. They don't understand why they can't have an ice cream. They don't understand why they can't have candy. They can't understand when they're in the store they can't have that toy. They don't understand those things. Wait. Wait upon the Lord. And as even as older ones, and I want to try to emphasize that thought to us this morning, to wait upon God. Waiting for the Lord. Waiting for the Lord to work on our behalf. Waiting for the Lord to answer our prayers. Waiting on God to move instead of us putting our hands on the situation. Wait upon God. Whether we're young or old, we battle with this. I was always amazed some years ago. I had a neighbor. She's gone on now. Lived across the street from me. Miss Ruthie. And she was well in her 90s. And she was very good health all the way up until maybe the last year, and then she passed. But we would sit on the porch in our house, and every once in a while she'd come out in the evenings and come across the street. And I'd get her a chair, and she'd just sit there and talk to us for a while and things. And I remember this one particular time I had just built a garage or had a garage built. And we somehow got into discussion of it, and she wanted to see it. And we walked her around back, and she looked around and looked at it. And she had mentioned she had an old, now she'd been in there for a long, long time, one of the first neighbors, so to speak. They had an old horse barn, and I don't remember it. I don't know if Linda ever remembered it. They had an old horse barn, and they used to put horses. They had horses they raised in there. They had a chicken coop, and they had chickens and things, but all that, none of that was there, or none of that was used anymore for that. But she wanted to tear that down. She wanted to find somebody to tear all that down. And when I showed her my garage, and she almost immediately went home and calls her daughter. And I didn't know any of this till later on. And I gave her the names of the man that built my garage. And within no time, within a week, she had already contacted that man and had a contract made up to tear all that stuff down and build a garage. And her daughter, Emily, she goes, where did that come from? She goes, she just called me one day. She says, I want to build a garage. She goes, well, Mom, we'll look. Nope, I want to build a garage. I got the name. I mean, in her 90s. And she's like, she's impatient. Let's go. She's go. Whether we're old or we're young, many times we get impatient with things. We want things today. We want it to happen now. We want this. But God says here in verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord. If you've been saved for any period of time, you know exactly what that verse means. To wait upon God. We get too anxious. That's where some people can lose their salvation, because they fail to wait upon God and they move forward when they shouldn't. To wait upon God. I've always mentioned one of my mom's saying when I was a young person, I used to hate it. But she says that when I would want something, she says, why don't you sleep on it overnight? I used to hate it when she told me that. Because I knew by the next day all that anxiety of me wanting whatever that was at that very moment, I knew it disappeared the next day.
Right.
Waiting. Wait upon the Lord.
Yeah.
We don't have to wait upon the Lord because He's too busy.
No.
God is never busy. We don't have to wait upon the Lord because God is too tired. God is never too tired. He's never too busy. He's never a distance off. If you remember when I think it was Elijah, was it there? Elijah, when they were trying to do the sacrifice, he said to Baal, to all the prophets of Baal, he says, "You pray for your God that he'll consume this sacrifice, this altar with fire, and I'll pray to mine." And one of the things that he said to him, he goes, "Your God must not be here. He must be away. He must not be able to hear." Well, God's ears are not short. He's not busy. He's not tired. And in verse 28, we mentioned there, he says in verse 28, and this needs to be a verse that we need to just consume in our thoughts and our minds. "Have you not heard some things? Have you not known some things? Have you not heard that even the Lord, even that God, the Lord, hath the creator, the ends of the earth, he fainteth not."
Glory.
Neither is weary. We get weary. We get tired. We can faint by waiting. We get weary by waiting. He fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. God never, and get my thought what I'm saying here, God never, ever, never is just on time. Never. He is never just on time. You understand what I mean when I say that? You know, we can be just on time sometimes. When I had my procedure last week, I get to the doctor, I get up there to the hospital area, I'm sitting there waiting. They call me. They said, "Are you on your way?" Now, kind of politely wanting to know if traffic was a problem, because it was there in the morning. And I left early enough that I made sure I was there. And I said, "I'm here now." They said, "Where are you at?" And I told them where. They said, "Oh, they sent you to the wrong place. You need to go here." But sometimes we're just on time under circumstances that are not of our power. We can be in traffic. Something can happen. A flat tire. Any type of things could be of purpose for us to just be on time to make it there tonight. But God is never just on time. Nothing in the world or nothing in the universe takes God's time to where he can't be there all the time. He's never just on time. God is never in a hurry. Never. We wait, we get anxious. We want it now, we want it to happen now. God's not in a hurry. God can change situations anytime he desires. He can make things change. The Bible lets us know one day is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. From the time that God created Adam to Christ, it was about 4,000 years. From the time Christ to now is about 2,000 years. Is that 6,000? 6 days God created the earth and all that we see.
Yeah.
And on the seventh day he rested. He didn't need to rest. He did it for our purpose. So 6,000 years, if you run them up, all the things that God has done in 6,000 years. And it seems like, "Lord, when's this ever going to end?" God's not in a hurry. God is not subject to time. He doesn't have a time clock. He doesn't have a calendar. But my thought for this morning and these, what I'm bringing to you, I believe that God wants to see if we're going to trust him. By verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord. I want to see if you're going to trust me. I want to see if you're going to be faithful. I want to see if you're just going to be steady in the path, being enduring in the things of God. I want to see if you're just going to stay in there. As I've said, when I first got saved, I understood that at age 17 years old, when I first got saved, if God allowed me to live out my years, the 70 or 80 years, if God allowed it, that was a long time from now, from that time at 17. And I understood by the grace, and I thank God, by the grace of God, my determination, by the help of the Lord, I'm going to live out my years. I'm not going to give this a try. I'm not going to give it a couple years, a couple months, and see what happens. I'm going to live out for God my entire life. I set that on purpose in my life back then, and it's still my purpose today. God's desire, I want to see if you're going to be patient. See, at 17 years old, anybody, any of us know, we remember we were a young person. At 17 years old, 50 and 60 years old was old, old. I'll be 59 in another couple weeks, another month maybe. Doesn't seem to be too old right now. But at 17, that was old. My body don't feel like it did at 17, that's for certain. But at 17, I think some of us have mentioned this sometimes, I thank God, I think Sister Ann sings a song, I thank God that God never showed me 5 or 10 years of trials at one clip. Yeah. One day, Sister Ann sings that song, one day, God gives me today.
Amen.
The grace today, the grace tomorrow. Now, as we've lived for the Lord, we understand that we don't let it bother us, but we understand from here to the grave, we don't know what we'll face, but one thing we've learned in confidence from here to the time we got saved, that God's going to be there.
Amen.
That verse 28 says, have you heard? Yeah, I've heard, I've experienced, I've known that he fainteth not, neither is weary. And there is no searching of his understanding. He that waiteth upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God wants to see if you're going to be faithful to him.
He does.
And one thing that he does that is he's going to make you wait for him. He's going to make you see if you're going to get impatient. To see if we'll wait upon the Lord. The word impatient means having or showing a tendency to be quickly irritated or provoked. Impatient, having or showing a tendency to be quickly irritated or provoked. I remember one person one time, and there's probably been many other people, that made the comment that one of the reasons they don't serve the Lord is because they want a reward today. They want a reward tomorrow. They want to work today and get the reward within the next week or year, so they can't wait 50, 60 years. They want it now. Galatians 6 and 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we don't get tired, if we don't get weary, if we don't get impatient, we'll receive that reward. But one thing the enemy knows is that is a big tactic of the enemy, to get you weary, to get you impatient, to get you tired, to get you tired of waiting on God, to get you tired of waiting on this, to get you tired of waiting on that, to get you tired of seeing things happen. What's going to this? People, we pray for the loved ones of our souls. We pray to be healed. We pray for this situation. We pray for that situation. Paul one time prayed, the Bible says that Paul prayed 3 times that God would remove the thorn. We don't know what the thorn was. But God, but Paul prayed 3 times that, and earnestly that he prayed that the Lord would remove the thorn. And God told him, Paul, my grace is sufficient, the thorn stays. Sometimes God has to help us to understand whatever we pray for and we're desiring. Sometimes God has to help us understand that's going to stay there and he'll give us the grace. You know what God gave me this week? And it was an encouragement to me. I was praying for someone. And trying to explain to you how I felt it to me. But you know, you ever pray for anybody and your burden of praying for especially a soul that's not saved. And that's what it was, someone that's not saved. So praying for somebody and you pray for them and you pray for them. And sometimes you have some burdens, sometimes you don't. You're more burdened than other times. And sometimes you think, Lord, I want to have a great burden for this person. And sometimes God can give you a great burden. And that burden just be a weight, and you pray and you pray and you pray. And you may see the results of that prayer. Okay? You may see God working on that. And this was my thought. I thought, Lord, do I have to get under that such of a burden under every single person to see the results. I'm like, Lord, why would I have to pray in such great details to get this soul saved? Because you love them more than I do. You care for them more than I do. You want them to make heaven more than I do. God put it to me this way. In a sense, whatever God is dealing with that person, any person in the world, he's dealing with them. And if he allows you to be a part of the victory, that's a blessing for us. See, in my mind, I'm thinking, Lord, I have to greet under this great burden. I have to. I'm the one. I got to get under this burden for God to save. God says, no, you don't. I'll save that person. I'll deal with that person. I'll bring that person to salvation if I see them working, if I see them accepting the things of God. But I may use you or you or anybody. I may use you. I may give you a burden to come to that place to pray for them and to enjoy the salvation if they come to that. I don't know if I explained that well or not. It's not me. It's not you. It's God. But if God will allow us to be any part of his glorious work in this kingdom, what a blessing that we can receive. We as saints, we pray for people. The one song was said, when one soul rejoices, we all rejoice with that one soul. We can pray, we can have a burden for one another, we can care for one another. But God's the one that does all the increase. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we don't get tired, if we don't get weary, if we don't get tired of the battle. People get tired of fighting the battle, you know that? I get tired of fighting the battle. And sometimes when I'm recognizing that, sometimes I need to go to the Lord and I need to ask, Lord, I need extra strength because I'm tired. And God can give me extra strength. But people get tired of fighting the battle and they leave the things of God. They leave the kingdom of God because they got weary in things. Because they didn't see what they desire to see. See, there's not a one of us in here having prayed for certain things and we think in our minds, this is how it should work. But God says, that's not all how it's going to work. I'll work in my way. And we need to accept that. I believe God's going to try to see if we're going to wait on him or if we'll put our hands on our own things. There's a verse that I've always used in the Bible for myself, Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, Jesus says here, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation which cometh upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. But I always thought about verse 10, the first part, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I said to you sometimes, as we have children, as parents, and even as we were children, and our parents told us to wait. I want an ice cream, wait. I want a toy, wait. I want that candy, wait. And some children have a fit. They throw themselves on the ground. They do all kind of stuff. But some children, if they're raised properly, might have a little issue. But they learn to do what mom and dad tell them to do.
Yeah.
God here says, here in verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, God says, I need you to wait sometimes.
Yeah.
I need you to just obey my word and wait. And wait upon God. As I mentioned, I believe that the Lord is going to see if we're going to wait. You know, when the children of Israel were in Egyptian bondage, God sent 10 plagues to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Did he have to say 10, send 10? He could have sent one. But he did it for two things. One, he did it for the children of Israel, to see the power of God and to see God working on their behalf. But in Pharaoh and the Egyptians there, when he sent the first plague, and I imagine after that first plague, that got him weary. On the very first plague, Moses said it was going to come, Moses said it would leave. The second plague, and I didn't look it up, but after a couple plagues, Pharaoh even got so weary with it, and he said, you know, I'm going to let my people go. All right, he told Moses, I'm going to let your people go, just leave. There were some other things going on, not taking the animals and that things, but anyway. But if you remember during that story, God took and hardened Pharaoh's heart. He was trying to break down Pharaoh, trying to break down the Egyptians, and trying to encourage the children of Israel, but he hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he didn't let the people go, and he continued to send plague after plague after plague after plague. We see the time of Abraham. What was Abraham, about 75 when he left his people? How old was he when he finally had a child? 100?
100 years old.
Is that 30? 25 years? God said, promised Abraham and Sarah, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. I'm going to give you and Sarah children. Sarah laughed because they were already well past age of having children. God allowed him to see if he's going to be faithful. And what did they do? They tried to put their hands on it. Sarah came to Abraham. He says, you take my handmaid Hagar and you have a child with her. And they did. God said, that's not what I said, Abraham. That's not the promise that's going to come through. Amen. You and Sarah are the promise. You know how long David, little David, after he killed Goliath, you know how long it took him to be king? 15 years. It took David 15 years by the time he killed Goliath and God anointed him as king and to be able to take the place of king. And one time David had gone in there and he had cut a piece of Saul's robe off of him and letting Saul know, I'm this close to you. I could have killed you if I wanted to. And God corrected him for that. Yeah. And David said, he says, God, let me know I'm not to touch his anointed. And he waited. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. He says, and therefore will the Lord wait that he be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Are you waiting on God? Are you doing things your own way? Are you praying, Lord, give me grace, give me strength, give me help? And you do things your own way? Are you making up your own plans of salvation? Are you making your own ways to heaven? Are you making your own thoughts the way, trying to fit them into the Word of God? Or are you waiting on God? There are many times God has tried His people. And as I thought about this week or week or so ago, I felt the Lord gave me this message. And this is one of my main thoughts that I think about. Many times I believe, as I looked into different stories, you know, that God doesn't just do things by circumstance, by happenstance, so to speak. He does things to see if the patience of God. Now, we're talking about the children of Israel. There's, well, probably a million of them. And thank God, God knows the hearts of every single one. One, two, three, all the way to the millionth person. He knows the hearts of every single one of them. And if you remember the time that God took Moses, they delivered him out of Egyptian bondage. God took them to the way of the Red Sea, and there they are at the Red Sea. He hardened Pharaoh's heart again. Pharaoh and his army came after the children of Israel, and they were fearful. All that they seen, all the plagues, the 10 plagues and all that, now they're here, now they're fearful again. God told Moses to tell the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
God took that pillar that he led them out of Egyptian bondage with, that they were in front of them, and as a guidance, as Moses and them were guided, he took that pillar, a cloud pillar there, and he took that and removed them from the front of Moses, and he took and put it behind them, and the Pharaoh and all his, and they were in darkness. And they couldn't proceed any further because they couldn't see.
Yeah.
And then God took a south wind or east wind, whatever it was. I think it was one of the east wind, I believe. It says east wind. And he took an east wind and he divided the waters of the Red Sea and he heaped up one on one side and one on the other.
Praise God.
They're in darkness. Now here God opens up the Red Sea, but backing up a little bit, if you remember that, they were that God wanted to test them, see how they were to trust in the Lord, and they were murmuring against Moses. They said, I'd rather be back in Egypt and eating onions and whatever else they eat.
Leaf and garlic.
That's where I'd rather be. See, that's that. I want to get into different message, but that's the thing of sin. People get tired of waiting on God. I'd rather be back in sin and be under the bondage of a hard taskmaster, the enemy of the soul. So he darkens Pharaoh and his army. He opens up the Red Sea. Let's go. Nope. You're not going nowhere just yet. You're going to wait all night. Anxiety and anxiousness are a killer. There's the exit. Let's go. Any of you ever been around these waters around here? We get a north wind, blows all the water out of the coves and everything. Go down there, Middle River. That blows that water across that bridge, Middle River Bridge right there, Gersbeck. You go down there when that blows all that water out of there, try to walk across there. You won't get 5 feet. I know. I haven't tried it, but I know. I know what it's like down there. God could have opened those waters up, dried the ground up like that, but he said, no, I'm going to let you wait. I'm going to let you wait all night. And when the children of Israel walked across that water, it was on dry ground.
Amen.
I don't know if the waters down there in Middle River could dry up for a week, able to make you walk across there. But God dried. Now, we're talking about an ocean, basically. We're not talking about a little river. We're talking about the Red Sea as an ocean, basically, not an ocean per se, but deep water where it heaps up on both sides of them, and that was a dry ground. God says, I want to see. I want to see who's going to be patient and wait for God, or who's going to just trust in the Lord. God had to try them, the children of Israel. They often got impatient. Of course, you know the story when they went into Jericho and they came back, or went into the land of Canaan, they came back with a good report, and God was angry with them because they listened to the ten that had a bad report. And so God allowed them to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years before he allowed them to go into Canaan lands. God may need to get some impatience out of you and I to see if we're going to wait. I've told you this story one time. Probably told it to you a couple times. Many, many, many years ago. Every time I tell it, I got to remember it's been a while with this real story. But anyway, some years ago, I had a prayer request. I asked the Lord. And I won't give you all the details. But anyway, I had a prayer request. And a situation was getting ready to come up. And I was praying. I said, well, I'm not going to take part in this situation. Go follow through with that situation. And this will probably help God to work out my situation. As soon as I remember saying that, I sort of felt God just smile. And he says, let me get this right. You're going to do something to help me answer your prayer. And I kind of chuckled myself and apologized. But that's what the God, that's what the mentality is. I need to do something to help God answer my prayer. God doesn't need us to help him at all, except for wait. Be patient. God may need to get some patience out of us. Remember one other time, I was only about 15, 16 years old. Somebody had given me a car. And back then, you got a car when you're 15, 16 years old. You're as happy as can be. But my dad was a little mechanically inclined, and they needed some brakes and things. And he had to put some brakes on it to get the pass inspection. And I didn't know how to do that yet. So it was a misty day. It was a rainy day. Not raining, but just misty, a little bit of light. I wanted to get the brakes on the car. So I said to Dad, I said, we're going to try to get the brakes on the car? He goes, it's raining now. I said, well, I'll go out there and build a tent over the car so we can put the brakes on. He goes, no, we're not doing that. I thought, my patience, well, I'm like, I want to go. You know that old thing, putting your foot on the brake and on the gas thing? I want to go. Sometimes God needs to put us in some situations to get us to have more patience, to get the impatience out of us. King Saul got impatient one time. If you remember the story, they were in a battle, in a war. And Samuel hadn't came. Samuel was the one responsible to do the sacrifice, and he hadn't came. That's why I said to you earlier, God is never just on time. And Samuel was not just on time. God did that. But God allowed, Saul was discouraged. The people were discouraged. They need to have the sacrifice done. Saul says, bring it, I'll do the sacrifice. And Saul performed the sacrifice, and it was not his job to do that. And Saul got, and Samuel got there. And Samuel says, what have you done, Saul? Sometimes we get a little ahead of, try to get a little ahead of God because we feel like he's not going to make it in time. God is never just on time. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. Those of you who know the Bible probably know where I'm going with this story. Luke chapter 2, picking up in verse 21. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named by the angels before he was conceived in the womb. And when the day of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was a just and devout man, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the glory and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And he was revealed unto him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy words. For mine eyes have seen the salvation, thy salvation. Amen. Back there in verse 25. He says there in the middle there, and the same man was a just and devout man, and he waited. He had faith that God was going to do what he asked. He was promised by the Spirit of God that he would see the salvation of the Lord before he died. And he waited patiently. And Mary and Joseph brought little Jesus in there to do the sacrifices and all that. And when Simeon saw him, he took him up and he said, my eyes have seen the consolation of the Lord. And now I can go on. Now I can die. We don't really know how old he was, but we're certain he was well of age, getting ready the time to pass on. And no doubt, I wonder how many days he woke up pushing himself another day to go to the temple there to do the work of the Lord. Lord, I'm almost time to go. But he waited. He waited and was able to see the salvation that God promised him. We don't know how long we have to wait for the Lord. But we have to wait for the Lord until either he answers or until he takes us home. Yeah. Psalm 37 and 25, it says, I have been young and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I said, when I was 17, this age look old. I'm not really that old. I am, but I thank God down through the years, I've seen God's faithfulness. Never one time has he been unfaithful and been on time, just as he said he would every single time in the saints of God. Amen. Faithfulness. And from this time on to the days that I close my eyes, I am assured that God's faithfulness will be there if I wait upon him. Amen. I have been young, I am now old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. True. There's something else we have to wait for. That's heaven. We have to wait for heaven.
Yeah.
Heaven is our ultimate reward.
Yes, it is.
Heaven is what we long for. Sometimes I wish, Lord, let's go. Sometimes I wish, Lord, let's go. God says, you be patient. Sometimes the battle, Brother Danny said, sometimes the battle gets difficult. Sometimes it's a little hard. Sometimes a little, most of the time it's just tedious a little bit. But sometimes it gets difficult. And sometimes we want to come to the place to pray, so Lord, just take me home. God says, I'll take care of you. I'll give you grace. I'll give you strength to make it through. Just be patient. Wait. God knows us. Whether we're young or old, God knows us. But we have to wait. The song says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. You know, I fully believe that song when it says that it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Everything will just be washed away. All the trials, the turmoil, the battles, the heartaches, the weight that sits on our shoulders, all these things will just pass away. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. God is going to see if we're worthy of heaven. See, I understand that a little bit now, living for the Lord for a little bit. People get in the race. They love this. They're enjoying it. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God he's done for me. But in time, they get weary. In time, I'm tired. And they give up the race. They stop the race. And God has a glory. We can't even comprehend what heaven really has to hold for us. But God has assured us it is wonderful, it is blessing, and he's going to see if we're going to be worthy. If we're going to see if the I think I brought a thought not too long ago, is the battle worth the glory that's ahead of us? Is what we go through. Sometimes we're in a battle, we're in a trial, and sometimes we have to stop and by faith look at our reward. And gives us the strength to continue to press on. I want to see Christ one day. I want to hear him say, well done. I want to hear him as he did with Mary there at the tomb when he was raised. I want to hear him say my name. That's what I want to hear one day. I don't think anybody says my name and your name like Christ does.
That's right.
Amen.
Are we waiting? Are we waiting on a couple of verses of scriptures? Some of that added this morning. Let's go to Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23 and verse 8, picking up in verse 8. You know how Job had gone through the battle he went through. This is way down the road here a little bit. Behold, I go forward. But he's not there. Ever been walking in this battle? Felt that? And backwards, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. Job says, I don't know where he's at. I look forward, I look back, I look to the right, I look to the left. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You see what verse 10 says? When he has tried me. When Job was convinced that God was with him every step of the way, regardless of what he sees, regardless of what he's experiencing, regardless of what's going on in his life, Job is convinced that God will take care of him every step of the way. And in verse 10 there, he says, "But he knoweth the way that I take." God knows the very battle you're in right now. He knows the very trial. He knows the burden of your heart, the weariness of your mind. He knows everything about you. And Job says that. He knoweth the way that I take. When I am tried, I tell you, we're going to be tried in this battle. We're going to be tested in this battle. God's going to allow us to see if we're going to wait for him. When I am tried, I shall come forth as gold because of God helping me. Job's wife said to him, after everything of his family was taken, his houses were taken, his cattle was taken, Job's wife says, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" You know what? This part of us says, "Yeah, that's what I should do." But Job told her, "You speak as a foolish woman. God giveth these things, God taketh these things away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to trust God and I'm going to wait for him." And he says, "When I do, I'll come forth as gold." And God blessed Job much more at the end than he did at the beginning. Now that's not always our promise. Just because God may take some things, give us some heartaches, that doesn't mean, oh, God's going to bless me at the end. Now maybe heaven is going to be a blessing. But that doesn't mean God will restore everything in this life. But I am certain that God will give you the grace to go through whatever we have to go. Sometimes I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I don't see what I desire.
Yes, amen.
And I've questioned, Lord. I've asked God why. Just have to wait. We just have to wait. Psalms chapter 27. Psalm chapter 27 and verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Verse 13 there, as I'm looking up there a little bit, he says, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." David went through quite a bit of stuff too. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Not going to turn here to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. The trial of your faith bringeth honor, glory at his appearing. Have you been faithful at waiting? Have you been faithful at being patience with the Lord? Have you been faithful at just trusting in God completely and fully? Well, the Bible lets us know, as 1 Peter there says, 1 Peter 1 says, that when Jesus Christ appears, that will be our glory and honor, that I've been patient and waiting for God. You know, when you do well in life and something happens, you're okay, you know. Somebody wants to accuse you of something. Well, I hadn't taken any part in those things. But if you haven't been, if there's been something in your life, and I'm not talking about sin, I'm just talking about the natural things of life. If there's something and somebody blamed you for something and you start to sweat, you start to feel your little hands wet because you've been guilty of some things. But if you haven't been guilty of those things, you're calm. Take your blood pressure, everything's fine, everything's very good. Take your pulse, everything's normal. Same thing with God. That day that he comes, that will be our glory. That will be the saints' glory, the honor that we've been faithful. We've waited. We've just trusted in God. That will be our glory and honor. But for those, and I feel sorry, as Jesus told to Judas, didn't actually say it to Judas, but he said it to the group of them. He says, the one that betrayed him, it would be better if that one had never been born. I've said that for myself. Lord, help me. I've known the goodness of God. I've known the grace of God, the love of God, the patience of God, the mercy of God. If I were to turn from him, it would be better if I'd have never been born. If I die this world, in this world, make hell my home. And that's the same with you. The Lord's coming back one day.
Amen.
We have to wait. We have to wait. But if we're faithful and we're true, then that'll be the glory of ourselves. May the Lord bless you as we have a song.
Okay, let's stand up and turn to the page 143. Page 143.
Tenderly, Jesus. Mm-hmm.